We've just been singing the song, Our God is Greater, that our God is awesome, our God is healer, that he turned water into wine, he opened the eyes of the blind. Now, if you're new to Metro, if this is maybe the first time that you've come or you're just finding your way in, you need to know that we really believe this stuff. When we do church, we try to make it as accessible, as open, as approachable as we can. But we cannot deny the fact that we believe that God is real. We believe that Jesus is real. We believe that he opened the eyes of the blind. We believe he turned water into wine. And we believe that he can touch, change, transform our lives today. Now, tonight, we're doing something a little bit unusual. So again, if this is your first time, if you're not used to being with us, you're really, really welcome. But it is going to be a little bit, slightly out of our normal style of doing things. Now, next week, we're starting a brand new series. It's called No Fear. It's all about anxiety, about fear, about dealing with worry, about how to get through the worst things that happen in life and how to survive that. So we've got Beth Dobson coming to kick it off, talking about worry in all its terms. We know that today in this generation, there's more mental health issues, more anxiety, more issues of stress and worry than maybe any other generation in history. So we're going to talk about that. And then Rachel Riddle's going to talk. We're going to do an interview with her. She's going to talk about her experience with cancer and how in her deepest, darkest moments, her faith got her through. It's a remarkable story. We're going to go through that. And then for the third and final one, Claire Thompson's going to be speaking about the biblical basis, why we as believers have an incredible wealth of good news, that we can be confident in what God has done for us, and we can have that practically making a difference. So how do we live worry, anxiety free? So that's next week. But tonight we're doing a healing special. So we're looking to see what God can do. We don't want to just talk about it. We don't want to just sing about it. We want to experience it. So I don't know what's going to happen tonight. I am excited, but I am completely in the dark. We're simply going to say, God, if you're there, we want you to do some powerful things. We've got confidence in that because not only has God done powerful things in Scripture, but God's done powerful things in our own experience. And in a few moments, I'm going to invite someone up and they're going to tell you a story of a remarkable healing, supernatural healing. So again, if you're thinking about this, you're not used to church, you're maybe not a Christian, this is going to be really, really challenging. It's going to be really, really, really interesting, but you're going to hear some stuff which is going to just challenge maybe some of your preconceptions about what can happen and what can't happen. But this whole thing about healing, I want to talk about it, and I want to look at one particular Bible passage, because this was one Bible passage that I remember reading and being impacted in a major way when I was 18 years old. I grew up in a Christian family. I had a Christian upbringing, and pretty much I had it demonstrated in such power by my family that I knew it was real, but I knew it was real for other people. It was only as I got into my late teens that I began to discover that it was real for me. And so when I was 18, I did basically a little bit like the New Wine Discipleship year that we have within Woodlands, a year that I gave over before going to university to be on a team, to work with churches, to go around the UK, different parts of the world, and talk about my faith. And I remember being in the West Midlands working with this one particular church, and we were doing a lot of work with some schools, and we were going in teaching lessons in the schools. But then we were, because you know, you can't say too much in a lesson environment. It's not appropriate to preach, the full thing. And so we would give reasoned explanations about the Christian faith in school, and then we would talk to people and go a little bit more in depth outside of school. But the first day that I got there, I remember praying, and I read this particular passage in the Bible, and it had a huge impact on me. This is from Mark chapter 16. It says this, Jesus speaking, he says, these signs will accompany those who believe. Everyone say signs. Signs. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, in Jesus' name, they will drive out demons, okay? They will speak in new tongues, that's odd. They will pick up snakes with their hands, definitely going off the reservation here. They will drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them at all. Now, if you read this passage, you can be forgiven for thinking, what's going on here? Is this like one of these kind of snake handling churches that they have in America where everyone's crazy and they do crazy things? They pick up snakes. There are certain churches that do this. They pick up snakes during their services to kind of show that they believe the Bible. The numbers are dropping. It's not really, it's not really anything to be too worried about. But what is happening here is that the writer of this scripture is just describing what the early church did. They didn't go out of their way to pick up snakes and drink poison, but there was something about as they went out proclaiming the good news that God loves human beings, he's presented himself in a human body, Jesus Christ. He's lived a perfect life because he loves us, and he's died for us and risen again. When they went out proclaiming that, sometimes it would be dangerous. And yet they found that as they did God's work, God took care of them. But it's the next bit that really grabbed a hold of me. It says this: they will place their hands on people who are ill and they will get well. So Jesus is saying to his disciples, you'll place your hands, you'll lay your hands, you'll put your hands as a sign of comfort and identification. You can't feel God, you can't see God, but if someone lays a hand on you, it's almost like you can feel the love of God through them. People who are ill, and they will get well. So I'm there, I'm in the West Midlands, I'm part of this team, I'm 18 years old, and I pray. I said, God, if this is true, I want to see it in my life. I don't want to just read something in the Bible. I don't just sing something in a song, water you turned into wine. I want to experience it. I want to know that it's real. You've got to show me the money. I want to experience this reality in my own life. I want to see what it's like to lay hands on people and they get better when they're sick. So God, I'm going to give you any opportunity today to bring any sick people across my path, and I will lay hands on them if you give me a chance, and we'll see what you can do. I'll do my bit, you can do your bit. We went out into the day, we did this lessons in school, the kids were really into it, and then afterwards, at the end of school, all the kids pile out, we meet them at the school gates, and we start talking. I get into this one group of people, and I say, hey guys, what did you think about what we were saying? That's okay, it's interesting. Do you believe that it's true? And they said, yeah, well, I don't know. There's no proof, is there? And then I said, well, okay, well, I've been praying this morning. Is anybody here that has got anything wrong with them? I want to lay my hands on you. It's not weird, promise. Being police checked, but I want to lay my hands on you. I'm going to pray that Jesus will heal you. There's this one girl. She's a really, really, really rough girl. I mean, frightening. But she comes up and she says, I sprained my ankle. And it's... well, painful. I said, really? Okay. That's not what I was expecting. I was expecting something more biblical, like a blind or deaf or whatever. But we can work with an ankle. I said, so what happens? Can you bang your ankle? Can you jump on it? She says, no, mate. It really hurts. And so I said, okay, I'm going to lay hands. I'm going to place my hands, because the Bible says if you place hands on people and you pray for them in the name of Jesus, then God can do some stuff. So I get down, I kneel down on the floor. I said, I'm just going to put my hand on your ankle. Doesn't mean we're engaged. It's just what the Bible says. But I'm going to pray. And I prayed, dear God, you said these signs will follow those that believe. They will lay hands on sick people. They'll place their hands on those that are unwell, and they will be healed in Jesus' name. So in Jesus' name, I pray for this ankle that has been strained to get better right now in Jesus' name. Pretty please with sugar on top. Amen. I prayed. And then I got up, and I could tell something was happening in her eyes. She looked kind of slightly nonplussed. And I said, can you feel anything? She said, yeah, it kind of feels weird. I said, well, try banging your foot. And she says, yeah, okay. And she bangs her foot twice, and then she goes, it's better. And everyone falls about laughing, because they think that she's making fun of me. Oh, the poor Christian, the roughest girl in school is taking him for a ride. Poor guy. And then she swears at them. She says, no, it's jolly well, I tell you, better. Words to that effect. And The guys, they don't know what to do because suddenly they're stunned because this is the last person that you would expect to say that they've been healed by Jesus. And while they are caught in this kind of conundrum, because when God comes close, it's kind of uncomfortable because if he's real, you really need to do something about it. But then this one guy, we're outside of the school, so this one guy's just walking along the street outside the school, minding his own business. But they see this one guy as one. They turn to face this guy, and they have this maniacal cackle. Because they see this guy, and I'm not joking, this guy looked like he had been in the worst accident. This was not some 16-year-old schoolgirl. This was a kind of, he looked like a biker. He had the black leather jacket on, the black leather trousers, one arm in a sling. He's got a walking stick. He had the most railroad track scar going down the side of his face. It was frightening. He looked like Frankenstein's monster, and he's limping and lurching along. And they all turn at him, and they say, "Hey, Christian, pray for him." I'm like, okay. You know, come on, I'm 18. I don't know anything. I don't know better. I don't know all the theology. I just know that my life has been touched by God. I know that Jesus became real to me. I know that it makes intellectual sense. I know that it makes rational sense. It makes experiential sense. It's changed my life. I don't care. I'm too dumb to be frightened. I am frightened, but I'm sort of also hopped up on adrenaline. And also her ankle. Check it out, God healed. It's like, I pray for someone, then God healed. Jesus is real. I'm like, yeah. So I say to the guy, I said, "Hey, mate, come over here." And we all gather around him. He didn't ask to be prayed for. He's minding his own business, just lurching along the high street. So we gather around him. I say, "What's your name?" He says, "Darren." And I say, "You got anything wrong with you?" He says, "Yes, I've got one or two issues." I say, "I tell you what, because I'm feeling confident with legs now, right? I don't want to touch the arm because that's in a sling and a cast. I don't know what's happened with his face, but he's clearly limping. And it's not in a cast, so, you know, that seems fair game to me. And I don't know whether he's been in an accident, whether he's been beaten up. The guy is in bad, bad, bad shape. But I say, look, can I pray for you? How about your leg?" He's like, "Yeah, what is this?" "Well, it's just, we're just Christians, it's fine." And I said, is your leg painful?" "Yes, it is painful." "Is it very hard for you to walk in?" "Yes, it is very hard for me." "You're an idiot." I said, "Okay, look, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to put my hand on your leg." I use my line. Doesn't mean we're engaged. No one's laughing. But I pray, "Lord God, you love Darren. Not only do you love him, but you love all these guys watching around. I'm outnumbered here, but you are more powerful. I believe that you are mighty, that you are awesome, that you are holy, that you are God, that you are good, that you want good things for us. You said that we can lay hands on people that are sick and they will be healed. And you did this in the pages of Scripture. Will you do it now for us here on the streets of the West Midlands?" And I pray and I say, "In the name of Jesus, be healed." Yeah. And I say to everyone, "See, I told you." And they said, "Well, there's no evidence." But I look at the guy, I look at Darren, and I can tell again, I can tell that he's looking kind of slightly, what the heck just went on, because he can feel stuff, and he's super scary guy, but I can tell something is happening. And I said, "Something's happening. You can feel it. How's your leg?" He says, "Yeah, it's kind of all hot and warm, and that's so weird." I said, "Look, could you jump up and land on your leg and show everybody that you've been healed?" And he says, "I'm not going to do that. No, I am not going to do that." And I said, "Come on, you can do that." And this is literally true. I whipped away his walking stick, his crutch. I took it away from him, and he held his ground. And I said, "Come on," I'm waving it around. "Come on, jump up in the air." And he's saying, "I'm not going to jump. I will permanently damage myself." And I remembered the girl. I said, "Well, just bang it. Come on, bang it. And all the kids around going, bang your foot, bang your foot. And he looked, and you could tell, and he felt warmth, and something was happening. And so, against his better judgment, he banged his foot. I said, did it hurt? He said, no, it didn't. That's so weird. I said, well, jump. And I'm jumping like this, jump. All the kids are going, jump. And he does it. He looks down, and he jumps. We all watch him up. We watch him down. Total silence. And by now, there's like 100 people around us. It was just the craziest thing. I said, did it hurt? He said, I don't believe it. It didn't hurt. I said, it's a miracle. And I started telling them all about Jesus. And literally from that moment onwards, for the whole week that we were there, kids were coming to us and we were praying for them and Jesus was healing. I saw people with asthma healed. I saw people with all kinds of sprains and strains healed. Trivial thing. I have never quite seen anything quite like it. It was a quite unusual week. I went on and talked about it, and that next week got to see someone who was deaf in their left ear, and Jesus healed them. And from that time on, I've had just a stone-cold, sober understanding that what the Bible says about Jesus is actually true. We know that God can heal. And Jesus says, these things are signs. And the signs do three things for us. First of all, the signs tell us that Jesus is real. They're a sign to people that Jesus is exactly who he says that he is, that the message that we're proclaiming to people is true. So if you're not used to church, if you're not a Christian, maybe you're an atheist, maybe you're agnostic, maybe you don't know what you are, maybe you haven't even thought about it before, when we see God doing these little signs, it's a sign that what we're saying is true, that Jesus really is real. When Jesus was conducting his earthly ministry, he showed people signs. He healed the sick. He turned water into wine. So when he sees Nicodemus, John chapter 3, he's able to say this. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the signs you were doing if God were not with him. So Jesus used these signs. And then he said, my disciples, you're going to have signs as well. So when the early followers of Jesus went out, they used signs so that people knew that what they were saying was actually true. So Philip, he is one of the first kind of leaders in the early church. He goes into Samaria and it says this, when the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said, like the kids outside the school in the West Midlands. When Jesus does signs through his followers, people start to take notice. They pay attention. Paul and Barnabas, when they were working their way through Turkey, it says this, they spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. So what we've got when Jesus does these things, they're just a sign to you that he's real, that the message is true. It helps us because, you know, we need faith to believe in Jesus. There's great reasons, there's compelling reasons. We can look at history, we can look at evidence, we can work out rationally with our brains the existence of God, and there's so many different arguments. And if you haven't heard those arguments, do the Alpha course. It's starting next month. But we are helped when Jesus does signs, because it shows us, this is not just something I've talked myself into. This is actually real. But it's not just that signs that Jesus is real. It's actually signs that Jesus knows you, that he knows who you are, that he understands you, that he gets you. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, it happened in the book of John. John was one of Jesus' disciples. And it says that one of the disciples, they were disciples who were following John the Baptist. And then Jesus comes into town. They see him and they're amazed by him. And so one of them gets their friend Nathanael, tells them, look, I think I've met the Messiah. He comes from Nazareth. Now, Nathanael is a good Jew. He knows that the Messiah doesn't come from Nazareth. The Messiah comes from Bethlehem. He had no way of knowing that Jesus was born in Bethlehem and grew up in Nazareth. And so he dismisses him out of hand. But Nathanael says, well, come and see. Maybe like someone said to you, well, come and see. You don't believe it, but you've come and you're trying to see. You're giving it a good shot. So Nathanael comes to Jesus and Jesus says this. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Now, Nathanael is cynical, skeptical. He says, how do you know me? He asked. And then Jesus says, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. In other words, he said, when you were on your own, when no one else saw you, you were under a fig tree and I knew you were there. I saw you, I know you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Changed his tune pretty fast because a sign showed him that not only is Jesus real and his message true, but he knows you. He understands you. We had a situation in the first year of Metro. One of the students was here. It was her birthday. And for her birthday, she invited a bunch of her friends. She had a party. They all got together. They celebrated her. And then she said, look, I'm going to church because it's Sunday and it's my birthday. And if you love me, then you'll come with me too. And so she basically guilted them to coming here to Metro. And they took up this road. They were sitting just over there on that side. And at the end of the service, while we were doing our final worship slot, one of the guys, Matt, he came up and he said, I believe that Jesus has spoken to me. I think he's got something that he wants to say to someone. There's somebody here, and you injured yourself a couple months ago in a sports accident, and it's affected your left knee. Suddenly, there's this big commotion around the friends that she's brought, birthday girl's friends. They go, oh, my goodness. It's him. One of the girls points to her boyfriend. You did this. Yes, shut up. Don't draw attention. They're so frightened. They're so kind of, you know, the first time in church. But they talked amongst themselves. They were too frightened and too scared to come and get some prayer, but they were mighty freaked out about it. And they said, look, this is exactly it. Rugby accident a couple of weeks ago, left knee, exactly like he said, and there was a few other things. And sometimes Jesus throws out these things, and there may be some stuff tonight, because God wants you to know he knows you, he loves you, he sees you. And he wants to help you. He'll bend over backwards. He'll move time and space. He'll do anything that he can to get your attention and to show you. He knows you. He loves you. He's interested in you. He's always been there for you. You think he's not there. You think he doesn't know. You think you're on your own. You think you prayed and no one heard. He heard. He sees. He knows. And signs help us know that Jesus loves us and sees us. But then finally, not only do signs tell us that Jesus is real and that Jesus knows you, but signs tell us that Jesus is victorious. Now, they're called signs because they are a little pointer to something which is not yet here. You get a sign to Bristol when you're not in Bristol. When you're in Bristol, you don't need the sign anymore. When I'm driving down the M4 and I see signs, I know that Bristol is coming, Bristol is coming, Bristol is coming. I'm not there yet, but it is coming. And that is showing me that Bristol is real and Bristol is coming. The Bible says that when Jesus dies on the cross, he defeats the power of sin. He defeats the power of death. He defeats the power of sickness and he defeats the power of everything that comes against us, every cancer, every bulimia, every mental health issue. He breaks its power. He snaps it in two. He breaks its back. He trashes it for all time. And yet the fullness of God's kingdom is something that hasn't yet fully come. It's a little bit like D-Day. You've seen Saving Private Ryan, right? You know Saving Private Ryan, the most amazing first half hour, 40 minutes. It's the Omaha Beach sequence. And the history behind that is that on June the 6th, 1944, the Allies made this incredible, largest ever offensive. It was 160,000 troops landed on five beachheads in Normandy. The Germans were mostly engaged fighting off the Russians on the Eastern Front. And now, after months of coordination and planning, the Americans combining with the British and the kind of the European allies, they come together. They fight. In one day, they lose 4,000 of their men. But over the next 10 weeks, they push back the forces of the German army. And in effect, the war is won on D-Day. The war is won on June the 6th, 1944, because now Germany is cut off. Now that France has been recaptured, there's no way for Germany to carry on its expansion. The U-boat bases are destroyed. The V rockets are taken over. Their bases are destroyed. The power of the Air Force is much severely reduced. Now Germany is being fought on two fronts, the Western Front and the Eastern Front. The war is over. Every single German general knows it's game over. That's it. It's finished. But do you know what happens? The war carries on for 11 more months. It takes 11 months. And in those 11 months, people still experience horror. People still experience tragedy. People still lose their lives. There's still distress and torment and turmoil. A great victory has been won. A decisive victory has been won. And yet we haven't got the fulfillment where peace is brought and ushered into all of mankind. So when Jesus dies on the cross, it is D-Day for Satan. The power of death has been irreversibly, irrevocably, irretrievably defeated. It will never, ever recover. But now we live in that 11 months where there is still a fight. There's still spiritual forces of wickedness and darkness, things that oppress us, things that make our lives hard to bear. But we see signs. Bristol is coming. Bristol is coming. But the signs say the kingdom is coming. The kingdom is coming. So when you see someone healed supernaturally, does everybody get healed? No, because we're fighting battles. We don't win all the battles. But we know that the force of history, God's supernatural history, is on our side. And we will see more and more and more and more until God's kingdom is fully revealed. And the last bit of the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, it says this: I heard a loud voice from the throne. It says, heaven comes down, the kingdom of heaven comes down to earth, the heavenly city comes down. Heaven on earth at last, and earth recreated and made new. And the loud voice says, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. So one day, the kingdom is coming. It's already here, but it's coming in its fullness. And right now we see signs of the breaking through of God coming closer and closer to us. And when we pray, we just ask God, we want to see a sign. We want to see some evidence. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. I don't understand how a prayer works. All I know is I ask God. And the same 18-year-old keyed-up kid is inside of me saying, I don't care. Let's go for it. Let's see what Jesus does. I've seen enough to know that he's real, and let's just see what he does. If we pray and nothing happens, no harm, no foul. I've had myself things that I prayed for. I've had sickness that I prayed for in my own body for months with nothing seemingly happening. And then suddenly one day got healed. So I just pray whenever I can and I trust God to do what he wants to do. But I'm going to invite you to give a massive round of applause. Welcome to the stage, Steph, because she's going to tell her story before we pray. So give a round of applause for Steph. I know that we prayed with you, and it was in a thing like this, so no one actually prayed for you. You were just sitting, were you sitting on the sofa?
I'm always on the sofa, so yeah.
Always on the sofa. So you had this thing, endometriosis. Just tell us, explain to us what that is, and tell us what happened when we prayed.
Okay, so for the best part of 10 years of my life, I had a suspected condition called endometriosis. The long and short of it is the lining of my womb was firing itself off to other parts of my body, clumping into tissue, cyst tissues, and just going everywhere they weren't supposed to be. The result was a lot of pain, a lot of pain. It would mean very, very strong painkillers. I couldn't get out of bed for days. It was an absolute nightmare. Yeah, that's basically endometriosis in a nutshell.
Okay, it sounds like a nightmare. So, very heavy painkillers. Were you on these most days? And what sort of symptoms, what sort of effect did that have on you?
So, yeah, I was on them most days, full doses, not particularly pleasant. Hot water bottles, wheat bags, all that kind of jazz. And the result was I was pretty depressed, very much. So, you know, there's only so happy you can be when you're in pain all the time. It also made my brain fuzzy, because obviously if you're on strong painkillers, then you can't concentrate because you're on strong painkillers. And it was pretty awful, you know.
Okay, so tell us, so you had that for 10 years, which is, and I knew you, and you'd been in the church for a few months, but I didn't know any of this, because I'm just ignorant. But tell us what happened when we were just praying. We prayed, just say your experience.
So it was about a month before Christmas, I think, and I was sat over on the sofa. I'd had a pretty bad day. I was on heavy painkillers, and we were talking about faith healing and that kind of stuff, and I was there going, yeah, I wish. I absolutely wish. And I'm doubled over on the sofa, and they're like, right, we're going to pray, we're going to talk about it, and all of a sudden, fizzing. Random fizzing, and I'm like, what? Okay.
So had you done anything?
No, I was praying. Like, I was praying with everyone else, didn't really think anything of it.
So when you were praying, were you kind of open to it, or was it like, I'm just fed up?
I was just fed up, you know. I didn't think it was a thing. I'd been in pain for 10 years. I didn't think it was something that would happen to me. So then when I'm sat over there and this fizzing happened and it's like, well, okay. And then I stand up and I'm stood with Elliot and I'm holding on to Elliot, because normally if I'm stood up to do worship or whatever, I couldn't really stand up properly. So I was holding on to him and I'm like, and I just start crying. And I'm crying and crying and crying. And he's looking at me like, what is going on? Like, there's a crying woman on my arm. What? And he's looking at me going, what is wrong with you? I'm like, I'm not in pain. I'm overdue for my painkillers. I'm not in pain. And it was the most surreal experience of my life. So much so that I spent the next 45 minutes after service running around like a lunatic, happy crying and jumping at everyone and going, oh my, look, I'm not in pain, it's amazing, I'm really sorry that I'm shouting in your face.
I remember you came up to me and I didn't quite know what was going on at all. I didn't know whether you were crying or laughing, but something had happened. Yeah. So since then, how have you been?
So about 6 weeks after that, I actually went for exploratory surgery because I'd had kids by that point and everything else. They said, right, we're actually going to diagnose you with this now, so you're going to have surgery. I was like, okay, let's give it a go. I hadn't had any pain. I had actually said that to my consultant as well, and they were like, well, we'll just make sure that everything's okay while we're in there. So I go for surgery. I come out of surgery. I am, again, up to my eyeballs on heavy painkillers because, yay, surgery. And I'm sort of still on the anaesthetic, and she looks at me and goes, there's nothing there. There is nothing wrong with you. And that is no word of a lie. I have medical notes and everything. And there is nothing wrong with me.
So you've had 10 years of pain,
yep.
10 years of heavy prescription meds.
Yep.
Then in an instant, you've had Jesus heal you in church. You've felt no pain since.
Nope.
And you've had medical investigations that say there's nothing wrong with you.
Absolutely nothing at all.
I think that deserves a round of applause. Okay. Final question. And we haven't prepped any of this. Steph, the experience that you've had, how does it make you feel?
There are no words. Absolutely no words, because I feel blessed, for one, because I never expected this to happen to me. I never expected to experience it in my life. I was the world's biggest faith healing skeptic in my life. I was like, nah, it's fake. It's fake. Clearly not. So then when I'm talking to people about it as well, and they're like, no, you, this is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. I know it's amazing. Hello. But it's then also talking to people about it as well and watching their eyes light up as well. It's really, I don't know how to express, I'm terrible with words, I'm so sorry.
No, I think you're expressing it. What I would love to do is I'd love to pray with you, mm-hmm. Steph. And I think what I would like to do, in a moment we're going to pray. And Steph, would you be open to praying for others tonight?
I'm terrible with words.
Okay, it's not, you don't need the words, we just need to ask Jesus. But I'm going to pray that God will continue to bless you and use you. And then we're going to just pray and see what God does. So Father, I thank you so much for Steph. I thank you for this remarkable miracle. Lord, we have trouble even processing it. Lord, it almost seems too good to be true. But I thank you that you are good. You are so, so good. And I thank you for what you've done for her, and I pray that you'd use her to touch the lives of others. Bless her family. Bless her children. Bless her health. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks. Give a round of applause. Okay, we're going to pray right now. So I'm going to ask Tim just to come up, grab a guitar. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this in the most rational, normal, simple, no frills, Tesco value way that we can. We're going to worship a little bit, and then I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask that Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, will come and touch people. So if there are people here and you know that there's something wrong with you, some of you, you've got conditions, a bit like Steph's, which are maybe long-term that you've had for a while. They're maybe not so easy to see, but you know them. We'd like to pray with you. For others, you've got something which is just a recent thing. It may be that you've sprained your back, maybe that you've knocked your knee, whatever it is, but we want to pray for you too. And the way that we're going to do that, we're just going to lay hands on those that are sick. People that believe are going to lay hands on those that are sick. I'm not going to do it. You're going to do it. So what I want us to do now is just to close our eyes, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask Tim just to lead us in a simple song. Because what I want us to do is I want us to focus on Jesus, not anybody else. This is not about, I've got to have special magic powers, I've got to have special faith. This is Jesus just being here, and he loves to touch us. He loves to impact our lives. So right now, Father, we pray. Would you come here by your Holy Spirit? Jesus, we thank you that you died on the cross to defeat all sickness, all pain, all disease, even death itself. I thank you that you rose again from the dead, showing us that you have complete victory over it all. I thank you that one day we're going to see your kingdom come where there's no sickness, there's no death, there's no crying, there's no sadness. And we long for that kingdom, but right now, give us signs of the coming kingdom. Let us see it before our very eyes. We want to pray that you touch people in powerful, powerful ways right now, in the name of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, we invite you, Spirit of the living God, just to come. Spirit of God, would you come here? I was just going to sing this song. Father, we love you. We worship and adore you. If you don't know it, you'll soon pick it up. We'll sing it through two or three times.